what do dreams mean? You know, how can we use our dreams to maybe help things in our everyday life? And I'm very grateful for our guest who I'm going to be on their show. So I'm very grateful to have her. Her name is, Darlene Lancer. Darlene, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much for having me.
First, can you tell us a little bit about your background? I see you have a law degree, you have a master's in clinical psychology. How did you then get into dream analysis and working with dreams?
Well, the dream analysis really started before all that. I think probably when I was 12 years old, I was reading Freud's Interpretation of Dreams, and I was so fascinated. And even before that, I remember being around 7 or 8 years old, and I was just fascinated with my dreams. And before I'd go to bed, I would try to plan my dreams and remember them. And then when I read Freud, I just thought, it's an important discovery, you know, if we could really understand the meaning of dreams. And then as I was in my teens, I started reading Jung, and he had a whole different conceptualization of dreams. And from my own experience, I think I've expanded beyond that. So I think dreams provide many different functions, depending on what is the most pressing need of the psyche, I think.
I wonder if at 12 years old, that's interesting. That's pretty young for reading Freud, isn't it?
Well, I was very introspective, and I pondered about the universe and Einstein's theory and all those things at a very young age.
Well, that's
always
probably
trying
why
to understand things.
Oh, I can relate to that completely. I do want to give, I didn't give out the guest call-in number. If anybody is interested in having one of their dreams interpreted, they can today, and the number is 914-803-4508. That's 914-803-4508, and you can get a dream interpreted today if you'd like to do that. So you said it started at a very young age. And in your opinion, why do we dream, or what are dreams all about?
Well, just as if our physical body heals when there's wounds, or it's constantly reproducing new cells and cleansing and moving out debris and nourishing, and that's a constant thing that's going on every second. Well, our psyche is doing the same thing, and it's trying to process unresolved conflicts, emotions, trauma. At the same time, it can provide warnings for things that you're anxious about or worried about, or solving problems, and create balance. So that if there's imbalance physically, your body and muscles will compensate. Well, I think that our psyche does the same thing. So that if we're too depressed, we'll have dreams that are uplifting. If we're inflated, we have dreams that can sort of bring us down to reality. And then on a transpersonal level, I think that dreams can provide psychic information.
Oh, okay. And that was going to be a question I asked, do you believe in psychic information? And we'll get into a little bit more about that. Interesting.
Sure.
So a friend of mine said that this is possible, but can people do things like in their daily life that prevents them from dreaming?
Prevent them from dreaming. Actually, I had someone that asked me how to stop dreaming because he was dreaming, sleeping too much and dreaming too much. And there's a few things you can do. One is you can wake up to an alarm every day, and because a lot of dreaming happens in the morning.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, if you want to dream more, just take a vacation. Don't set your alarm. Eliminate stress from. Don't work too hard. Don't do a lot of mental activity. So if you're pressure using a lot of your brain power during the day with like calculations or studying or something like that, and you go to sleep and you wake up early to an alarm, you're going to have less opportunity to dream probably.
Oh, interesting. I did not know that. But if everybody, but mostly everybody dreams, is that correct?
Everybody dreams. Whether you remember them or not is something else. So if you want to remember them, I can give you guidelines to do that as well.
Sure, yeah. Let's go ahead and give them some guidelines.
Okay. Well, first of all, like anything else, you have to set an intention and be very focused and diligent about it. So before you go to bed, you tell yourself, I'm going to remember my dreams. You sort of meditate on that or pray about it. You can actually pray for guidance or answers to a problem. And then keep a pad of paper or a tape recorder by your bed. Don't wake up to an alarm. The most important thing is when you start to become conscious early in the, when you're first waking up, do not open your eyes, do not move, do not turn over, anything like that. And that your first thought, you have to train yourself to think, my first thought is, what am I dreaming? Because you may still be in your dream as you're waking up. And if you start to move or think about your day or anything else, it's going to immediately eradicate that.
And is this like anything else where if you do this more often, get in this routine, that you'll remember more and more? Is
absolutely.
Kind of like
and if you start writing them down, if you start remembering them or talking, sometimes telling someone, if you are sleeping with someone and you wake up and you start telling them your dream, that's another way to remember it. And what I do sometimes is I'll try to, maybe I'm too tired to wake up or I have a dream like in the middle of the night, I try to memorize it. So I go over it a couple times in my mind. And then sometimes when people are in therapy and they start telling their therapist their dreams, they'll start having more dreams, and they might even start dreaming in the symbology that their therapist uses. So if they go to a Freudian, they might start having Freudian symbols. If they go to a Jungian, they might start having Jungian symbols.
So it would be more communicating more to relate to the therapist, so the person could then kind of...
Right, they sort of adapt to it. Uh-huh.
Yeah. Oh, interesting. And I know that there's different types of dreams. There's lucid dreams, repetitive dreams. Does everybody have different dreams, or is it just depending on what's going on in your life of why you'd have one dream or another?
Very few people have lucid dreams. It may happen randomly sometimes, but usually you have to train yourself to do that. It takes a lot of effort and concentration. I've had a few. I haven't been motivated to try to practice that technique, but there are techniques where you practice looking at your watch during the day, and then you practice, try to do that in your sleep, or certain things to yourself to tell you that you're dreaming. So that you, lucid dreaming is you become conscious within your dream. And then, like a director of a movie, you can direct the action in your dream.
Oh, interesting.
So, but do people do have recurring dreams? And there's usually, it's the same theme, and understanding that is probably some kind of life lesson or life trauma or anxiety or something that they need to look at.
So if you're a person who has repetitive dreams, or maybe it's been a lifetime of, you know, a repetitive dream, then that's definitely something, there's a message there for you. There's something that you need to deal with.
Absolutely, and I think probably most of your callers or listeners have heard of PTSD. So when you have a post-traumatic stress disorder, that's what the initials stand for. Mm-hmm. When you have a trauma, it doesn't have to be in a war. It could be from a car accident or a bad relationship or abuse or something. You will have a recurring dream, which is different from the kind that I was thinking of before, which is more of a life lesson. But when you have a recurring dream that has to do with some trauma or a relationship, you're trying to work out, your body is, again, like trying to heal, is trying to resolve the issue. You know, some people who have been in an abusive relationship will dream, and it may not start until they leave the relationship, when they're safe enough to even start dreaming about it, that they'll dream about the abuse over and over, and maybe over time they then stand up to the person, they fight back, and maybe as there's a closure, they start to have dreams of being friends with a person or forgiveness, things like that. Your psyche is doing therapy with you on your own.
That's interesting. So based on what you said, it sounds like it's starting a process for you that maybe you aren't ready to do in your awakened life.
Well, I don't know if it's not ready to do, but it will facilitate. I mean, it goes hand in hand.
Okay.
But usually, in a sense, what you're saying is true in the fact that you will more than almost never dream something you already know.
Okay.
So if you think, oh, that dream is about this, something that I've thought about consciously, it's probably has some deeper meaning because there would be no point in dreaming something that you already know.
Interesting. Okay. Very interesting.
Oh, and then just to say, a lot of people think, oh, well, I saw that violent movie or something, and that's why I dreamt that.
Mm-hmm.
Or I saw this movie that was sad, and that's why I had this sad dream. Well, that is just the sort of the format.
Trigger.
You know, it gives some context to the dream, but that's not why you dreamt it. You dreamt it because you had some anger or some violence happening in your life, or you have some sadness that the movie triggered. So it was just that experience of watching a movie or hearing a story may have triggered it, but it still speaks to something within you at a deeper level.
Oh, I never knew that. That's very interesting, because I know I'm a person who definitely doesn't like scary movies and like to watch them, because I will have nightmares on them. But I do know that, you know, they're, now that you said that, I could see reasons why I'd have those.
Okay, so, well, the same thing if you go to a movie and some people be sobbing and someone else might not. Well, if the person is having an extreme amount of emotion, it's because it's triggering something within them. Or I've had clients that say, well, I don't cry, but I only cry in movies. Well, that's probably maybe when it's removed from them and they think it's not about them, then they feel free to express their emotion. But when it gets too personal, then they feel embarrassed, or they think that they're not supposed to cry, or they're over it, or there's a lot of reasons why they don't let themselves express their emotion.
How often do you use? Are you practicing now as a family therapist?
Yes, I have a private practice in Santa Monica, California, and I also do e-therapy or phone therapy through my website, which is just www.darlenelanster.com, and actually sometimes people email me a dream, and I can do that through the phone or through email for a charge. I do see individuals and couples in my private practice, yes.
How often when somebody comes, let's say, for something, you know, they don't ask for a dream interpretation. They're coming for, let's say, marriage counseling, or maybe they're having trouble at work. How often do you think you go towards their dreams to help start resolving, or is analyzing their dream part of the process?
It's part of the process if someone is interested in it, or occasionally someone feels like they're stuck, or they might come in and say, well, nothing's going on this week. So they feel like, well, gee, I don't know anything that I really want to talk about. And I might say, well, have you had any dreams? And then they might bring up a dream, and then that is reflective of what's going on in their life. Dream interpretation, it's not like going to a psychic. So many people contact me, and they have a dream about their boyfriend is cheating, or an ex-boyfriend comes back and they want to know, is this going to happen, or is he cheating, or are they coming back? So it may be psychic, but I say to them, well, probably your intuition is better than mine because you're in the relationship. But I need to explore the interpretation in a context of what's going on in their life and their relationships and maybe a little bit about history. So sometimes it takes some back and forth dialogue to get a fuller picture of the person, which I would know if I was in therapy with the person was in therapy with me.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's a total stranger, I don't know. And I don't need to know your name, by the way, so because it has nothing to do with your birthday or your name. It's the information that's important.
So for people who, let's say, don't believe in psychics, don't believe in, you know, that other spiritual realm, the process that you use isn't, you know, doing what I would say psychic work. You are using, what my understanding would be, you're using psychological theories that you've studied and experience you've had over time and, you know, interpreting and analyzing through psychological theories. Is that correct?
Plus my own intuition, which happens to be quite good, and I know that some people, I've seen a therapist, a Jungian analyst at one time, and she really wasn't that good at interpreting dreams. She knew all the symbols, but it takes a certain amount of kind of dexterity with metaphors and patterns, and I sometimes will discuss my dreams with a girlfriend who's not even a therapist, and she's very adept at helping me decipher them. Sometimes it's hard to even, when it's too close, even Carl Jung said he can't always interpret his own dreams. So it sometimes takes him with a little bit of objectivity to bring up things you wouldn't normally think of.
Oh, definitely. I think that's with so many things. If it's our own situation, we aren't objective at all. We may want it to be a certain thing, and it's not. We want to kind of maybe interpret it a certain way.
Right. So I guess it's maybe 50% training and experience, and the other 50% is just the way your mind works and your ability with intuition and metaphor and patterning, thinking in terms of patterns and metaphor.
Okay. So we were talking about different types of dreams before. How does a person know if they're having a prophetic dream?
Well, it turns out true. Some people who are very cynical will say, well, you have other dreams that don't turn out true. So when it does come true, then you think, well, it must have been prophetic. But in my experience, those that I have had, they're very specific, and they're usually timed closely to the events. So there's no doubt. You know, and I think they're different. Sometimes psychic dreams have a different quality to them. In my experience, they're very direct. They're not long, involved stories with a lot of motion in it. Often it'll just be a message, you know, from someone will say, just tell you a few sentences.
So around this, so it just popped in my head, because I also do tarot, and I heard that when September 11th was happening, I didn't do tarot at that time, that a lot of people, when they were, when September, the week before September 11th, the tower card kept coming up for tarot readers. During that time, did you have any dreams about that situation?
No, I didn't.
No, okay. I just wondered. I know that that some people did have that. So do you believe, you know, my research, I found out that they said there are common symbols or universal symbols of dreams. Do you agree with that?
Yes. Yeah, there are certain archetypes and there are some universal symbols. On the other hand, I think there's a few that are just pretty clearly universal, but generally speaking, it's important to find out what it means to the dreamer.
Mm-hmm.
Because they may have had a certain experience with, for instance, fish often can refer to Christ or food or life, going to Christianity, but maybe somebody just really hates fish or they have an allergy to fish or something like that. So it might mean something very different to that person.
So if they had a dream that there's a lot of fish in their fridge or something, it could be maybe there's things, and I'm, you know, maybe there's things that they're eating that they're allergic to or something like that.
Yeah, could be something like that.
So that's, again, so, I mean, if somebody's trying to do this on their own, that it seems like it would be somewhat difficult because, I mean, I know there's tons of online resources that, you know, say, oh, if you're dreaming about a truck or you're dreaming about a building, this is what it means. But for each individual person, it's also going to represent what those symbols mean to them also.
Right, and I've also looked at some of those online, and some of them are kind of very funny to me because they go to some superstition, like this means you're going to have good luck, or this is going to be bad luck, or you're going to be good prosperity. And no, I don't subscribe to any of that.
So what are the steps that you take if you're going to work with somebody and do a dream analysis for them?
I wouldn't have time to do this on your show, but to do a really thorough analysis and interview, I would want to, first of all, get a sense of this, what was going on in the person's life the day before they dreamt, and just in general, you know, in the, if there was anything problem that's, well, this I would might be asking, what is of concern going on in their life at the present time? And then in terms of the dream, I would want to know the setting specifically and what colors were in it, what emotions, they, and then take it step by step and what emotions were in it, what perspective did they have? Were they watching it? Were they an actor in it? Did they change perspectives first? From one point of view and then another, which, by the way, is a higher level kind of a dream. It's something I did a show about the different levels of dreams that's in my archives on my show page, Blog Talk Radio. If there's different people in the dreams, I would want to know their feeling about that person and their relationship with that person. And I think probably one of the key things is what was the strongest emotion at what point in the dream? What was the pivotal area? So those are some of the things I would look at. And then going through the symbols and ask them to associate to the different symbols in the dream.
So there's a pretty long process in that.
Yeah, I'm not going to, we wouldn't have the time to go through all of that at this point.
No, that's fine, definitely. What are there? Do you have any like success stories that you can tell people of maybe some dreams that your clients had that maybe like revelations they had that by analyzing your dreams you were able to bring to light?
Yeah, I've had a few recently. I don't have all of the at my fingertips, you know, the whole process, but one comes to mind. It's a woman that was quite spiritual and very happy in her life. But she had this very disturbing dream, which I don't remember the dream at the moment, but it was maybe very sad or some violence, or there was something very kind of melodramatic and upsetting to her about the dream. And then on questioning her, because the dream did suggest to me that there was something deep emotional thing that she wasn't addressing, even though she claimed to be very happy. After speaking with her, it turned out that she had some child abuse. And she had, in her mind, forgiven her parents that had abused her and had just moved on from that, let go of it, made peace with it. But the dream was showing that it needed to be dealt with and it hadn't been resolved. I hesitated, actually, to point this out to her, but she was very grateful that I was candid with her, and she decided that she was going to address that. There was another person who dreamt that he was trying to get out of a coffin.
And
he was dead, or he kept trying to get out of the coffin, and there was more to the dream than that. That's usually when you dream of being dead or mummies, something like that, it usually means that you're depressed, that you're walking dead, waking dead, deadness to your life and your emotions. And when I pointed this out to him, he was very grateful, and he was going to, and I made some suggestions as I learned more about him about steps he could take to free himself of this depression, and he was very grateful, and I think it energized him to really get serious about making changes in his life, going to therapy and exercising and doing other things that he could do. Those are a few. So there is another one. I don't know if I can remember enough to elaborate on its significance, but I think it was a woman that had come to, in the dream, she was coming to a crossroads. And let's see, it's coming to me as I speak. And she had had a relationship that ended badly for her, or I don't remember if it was a love affair or a divorce, but she hadn't dated in some time. And she had a son that was in Iraq and was coming home. He was going to stay with her. No, or maybe it was the reverse. I think he was leaving. He was leaving for the army.
Oh, okay.
And so there were some sexual symbols in the dream. And I think it had to do with the fact that she was at a crossroads in her life, and she had neglected her sexual side and her feminine side and put all her energy into her work. And now that her son was leaving, she really had a choice of whether she was going to open up her emotions and her heart and try to date again, or whether she wasn't going to. And so the dream really, she said she didn't remember her dreams usually, but this one seemed important, and indeed it was, because it was really telling her that she had to make a decision, and there were unconscious, emotional, physical needs that she had just kind of locked up, locked away, because of her fear and sadness of getting hurt again, and that now was the time that she could go on this path for herself. So,
oh, interesting. So do you think that dreams come to us when we're ready to deal with them? Like, would they come before we're ready to actually deal with them? Because thinking about people where maybe they haven't had a dream, and they're, like you talked about the female who was abused, if maybe she hadn't had that dream for many, many years, and she's in her 30s or 40s and has that dream, is that when it comes, when it's like we're able to deal with it, we have the tools to deal with it?
You know, I really can't answer that question.
Okay.
I don't know, you know, sometimes why it might come at one time or another, although I do know I've had clients that have had prior abuse, and it doesn't start to come out in their therapy until they're safe. And even, I mentioned someone maybe in an abusive relationship, and not until they're out of that relationship, and then they start getting the nightmares. So when when they're away from the abuser, or when they're in a loving relationship, or, you know, they're not pressured with survival things, whether it's finances or health or something like that, then maybe in answer to your question, that could be true.
So again, tell if you would, go ahead and tell the listeners again, if they're interested in, one could be counseling or therapy or getting a dream interpreted, how they'd contact you.
Oh, thank you. My website again is my name. It's www.darlenelancer.com.
But has there been anything that you've learned over the years that maybe you hadn't learned previously about dreams? Anything that's been surprising or shocking to you?
Well, one thing I did learn is that it was pointed out to me by someone with more experience than I that sometimes, and this is a problem that sometimes people have with interpreting their own dream, like if a person tends to be overly self-critical, they might interpret the dream as a self-reprimand or criticism. Or if they tend to be kind of unrealistically optimistic or inflated, they may interpret the dream, you know, too positively. So that's the other reason why it's good to have someone objective interpret it. And I recall my brother passed away about 6 years ago, and in my last visit, he told me a dream about visiting our parents in some hotel, and there were some dark clouds around, and then was so happy to see our parents who had predeceased, you know, had already died, and I thought this was a dream about he was dying and would die soon, that the dark clouds and seeing that our dead parents would greet him. But he was very hopeful. He was still in denial about his imminent death. And so he thought that this was a great dream, that he had just accomplished this healing. That it was an indication of certain healing of his relationship with our parents. So sometimes your own denial will block an interpretation because you're not ready to see that.
Oh, and so basically we're all looking through our heart when we're trying to analyze our dreams.
Yeah, to some extent. I mean, the more, the better you get at it, the more, the clearer you get. But still, there are sometimes and certain dreams and certain times when it can be problematic to interpret your own dreams, just like a, you know, a surgeon wouldn't operate on his own family members. So.
No, that's very smart.
Do you have any dreams you'd like me to interpret?
Yes, I was thinking about that. I dream all the time. I've had so many dreams. It happened when I was a kid more, but then it started to happen more recently. I will be dreaming, and it's usually when I'm under stress, I'll be dreaming, and I will be dreaming like something bad's going on. Like this happened when I lived in Indiana. I woke up, and I rushed out of my room to my front door and opened the door because I was having a dream that there was somebody outside needing help. And I literally get up and do things. Like, I've done that where I've got, sleepwalking. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah. You know, I had a client that had sleepwalking. She would walk outside naked.
Oh, my.
And she thought, you know, that she considered this a real serious problem that brought her to therapy. And she could have just worn pajamas, I guess. but she chose to come to therapy. And at the time, I was doing a lot of hypnosis, and that's what she wanted. And we did a lot of hypnosis. And the condition got better and better and better. And some people are sleepwalkers. One of my children was, and I have a couple funny stories about that. He must have been about 12 years old, and we were in the mountains going to go water skiing the next day, and this was new to him. So in the middle of the night, he had got out of bed, and you see him sort of sliding across the floor as if he were skiing or something. He was like practicing in his sleep, preparing for rehearsing for the next day. And actually, research has shown that visualization is about 90% as effective as exercise in improving your abilities. And then another time we went on a cruise together, and someone was doing stage hypnosis as entertainment for the guests. And I volunteered because I had done hypnosis and I was a meditator and I really wanted to volunteer. And he called about 30 people went up on stage, you know, that had volunteered. And then he eliminated all but 10. And I was eliminated. And my son stayed. And my son didn't believe in it or anything. And he went into a very deep hypnotic state where he forgot his name. He smelled things. It was very entertaining and funny. Like they said, the person next to you smells like a sweaty gym or something. And he's going, phew, and that person really smells. And then the person next to you is pinching you, and he kept jumping. And that deep hypnotic state, most people don't go into. The few that do are those that are somnambulists and those that are sleepwalkers.
Oh, okay.
So you could go very deep in hypnosis, and you would qualify for what they called stage hypnosis, like my son did. And clinical hypnosis in therapy is very light. It would be just sort of like daydreaming, or just before, just after you wake up. It's usually a lighter. You're conscious through the whole thing. You could stop or wake yourself up at any time.
Oh, interesting. So. That's definitely, hypnosis is definitely something I definitely want to learn more about. And I did see that you were certified in that. So
yes,
that we may need to have you back and plan a little bit further in advance and talk more about that part of it. That's very interesting. But our show is just about out, but I really want to appreciate you coming on the show and teaching the listeners a little bit about dreams and, you know, how they can use it to, how it's helped your clients in the past.
Thank you very much. Thank you for asking.
Again, I want listeners to know that you have your own show on Blog Talk Radio, and they can go to blogtalkradio.com and just put in your name, Darlene Lancer. Thanks so much, Darlene.
Thank you very much.
Find out what your New Year's going to be like. So check out my site at blogtalkradio.com/talk2TAM today. And have a great rest of your week.